There's a thing like about four that are cater bugs, and so this one, because it has that brown in it, it's got the cater, but because it's got the lavender, that makes it the lady, so it's the lady cater. That's one of them. All but, and I'd already bought it before, all but that. Because he had a stable in it, of all things. It's a more recent marble made north of Marietta, a little place called Reno.
Reno.
Yes.
And these are called calligraphies, with all that little fine, small stuff. But Plains is a lot of what Allie's known for. See the Plains there? See some Plains. Anyway, I haven't regretted it, Montgomery, but my bank account suffered.
For some more tips, some more value you guys get.
Yeah, I just got three.
Got more to do in there?
Yeah, I've got that beat up one that I just picked up because they're hard to find, and this is one of these boxes. So you gave them the name Collectors?
Companies and Collectors. They're still being named yesterday. A lot of companies had named marbles. They made them and sold them, and a lot of collectors named them as we go along.
Look at the tips.
Wow.
See? I don't know how many it's got. Now, I just picked this one up in the cooler. That one and then this little purple one.
Did they do that on purpose?
Well, I don't know if you call it doing it on purpose, but they were lucky. They had a time when it happened.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Nobody
really figured out how to do it. Yeah,
and this is a Mountain Dew. There's not a whole lot to it, but they're hard to find.
For sure. They look like the glass, and then the yellow one is Mountain Dew.
So
if you're more collecting, you just kind of put the name out there, and people think it's just some marbles or something.
When we were digging, I'll show them about 2 days of grace. When we were digging, we kept finding in one place, these great big marbles that were gray swirls. We just found them, and so they were getting so they were just screwed. They were hating them, those old gray marbles. And I said, yeah, they were looking more than something else. And I said, you all quit talking about these sweet baby grays. Come on, come to these sweet baby grays. That's what they're called, sweet baby grays. After the sweet baby ray.
Introduce yourselves and tell me where you're from, where you were born, when you were born.
My name is Mary Morgan, and I was born in Roncevic, West Virginia, which is a little town close to Lewisburg, which is amazing being there. I was there until I was through my first grade year in school. Moved here, been here ever since.
I'm Ron Shepard. I was born in Parkersburg and grew up in Jackson County, Shreveport Road. And once I got into college, I moved to Parkersburg area and been pretty much there ever since. And now ready to move back to Jackson County.
You're moving back to your home place, which has been in your family since 1878.
Have a book. But when I got this book, I found this page, Leaving Through the Novel Theater.
Hmm.
And that's it.
That's what did it. How did she know?
Mm-hmm.
Aww. That's amazing.
So what I get emotional.
No, I love it.
But what I found out about a year ago, I could have been collecting buttons. The person to pick this book out, that was the choice. Marbles or buttons. Boy, am I glad she picked the marble book.
And buttons don't really have any relation with here, do they?
No. No, that was just something she just saw the, you know, collected book or whatever.
Buttons have a history of St. Mary there.
Mm-hmm.
In the river, they were made out of the mussel shells.
Yeah.
The button factory there. Yeah. But those, not real close, but to the river, up and down the river it goes.
And my nieces, I have one, two, three nieces, of Alice and her two sisters. And they all, none of them are avid marble collectors, but they love my marbles. So when we dug at the alley site, we all ended up with what, 10 or 12 5-gallon buckets of dirty marble. And most of mine are still dirty, because as long as they're dirty, they could be anything in those buckets, and so I don't really want to clean them. But I did jar up a jar for each one of them.
Yeah.
And so some of them cleaned them, and some of them said they'll never clean them. So.
Huh.
Yep, not easy getting over to you.
No.
How many of you sold them?
None.
And how many years?
I can tell you, I think it was great. I think it was 1994 before I got that
decision. You were here with me about 2 or 3 years.
So, now, so that's the book that started it off.
So how did you get into marble?
Well, I happened to be driving north from Parkersburg to Wheeling on a Sunday afternoon, and went to the Tanner Sisters there, and surprised with seeing a banner across the street, and Tanner Street blocked up, and people were there, and the banner said, membership. And I played marbles and collected the marbles and was kid in the county. Had plenty of umbrellas. So made a little tour through the town and walked down this mountain and was amazed that people were coming from Arizona and Indiana and Texas and everywhere else with marbles. And then I got to looking at the prices and I thought, well, everybody tells me now, these people are crazy. So that's how I basically got my start. And next weekend I met Sammy Hogue, who's a temporary marble artist, makes marbles now. And
that's Sammy in that lower double picture there, the guy in the denim jacket.
I immediately had a million questions, didn't have any ideas to get into marbles, and got my first book, and I wore that covers off that book, and went to him every week, every chance I had to ask questions, and he kept dressing me where to go for the answers. And I've explained 20 years, the past 20 years, probably on 10 years.
Could you give me a little bit of the background of the marble industry here and what are the different plants that you collect from, either one of you?
Well, for me, I started out with Ravenswood being my favorite because of proximity. It's close, 10 miles away, and Vitro, which is Parkersburg. And then when we got the chance to lease the old alley store, Kingsborough, and got the dig, and Alley jumped to the top of the list. So those are my three favorite companies to collect.
What do you mean by
that? Well, it hasn't been used as a marble factory in decades, since the late 30s, I guess. Although I think it had been used for other glass concerns. And so the roof was falling in, and it had sold to a lawyer from that area. And then you couldn't do much with it because the EPA were interested in all of the chemicals that were in the ground, like arsenic, the things that it took to make colors in the early days. And so I really don't know for sure, but the guy he sold it to probably had two nickels rubbed together. And we leased it from him with the right to go in and dig. And we leased it like
come about and a lot of them get learned because of another thing. They weren't sold to the public and this and that, and it opened up a whole new end of reflecting, and it's just any time it escalates, you learn from it.
How far down did you get?
Yeah, we were doing well. I had the back there as well. We were averaging most of the time 2 feet, sometimes three, but we did check some places down to 6 feet. But most of them were within a stretch of 2 feet.
And did you sort of systematically
pull them
off the area for
you at all? We didn't pull them off. We just, you know, we dug them in. We were satisfied with the time of the ring and moved along. I had a lady that's now passed away down that worked there, and she'd give me some clues where to dig, and it finally paid off. We were having a little bit of trouble a few days finding that, and I sat down for a while and thought, you know, what she was talking to me about. She lives there inside the factory, and so I took her advice and sent her to that area. She wasn't trying to hold up the whole day, and all of a sudden she had a hole, foot and a half diameter and about foot and a half deep, and she yelled at me before we left, and I looked down the hole, and she didn't end up marble.
Garden saw or whatever you're digging with in the marble system. Marbles and dirt just rolled up. And he, in December of 2012, he fell off of a ladder and broke his heel bone. Awful. I don't know how many pins.
Mm-hmm.
That kid. So when he started out, he was on pressure. And this is a...
You send in the snow and the mud and...
the guy who owned it had come in first with a backhoe and just a straight line where he knew there were marbles and took out a bunch. So that made it rough. And like I said, the roof had fallen in and there were concrete chunks and steel rebar sticking out. And here he is on crutches, and we're saying, how in the world are we going to get him from here to there? But as time wore on, it's sort of funny to watch the pictures, the progression of the pictures, because he starts out on two crutches, then he ends up gets on one crutch, and then eventually you just see those crutches just laying, because we took pictures, and you see those crutches laying everywhere. And so by the time we finished, he was in pretty good walking
shape. I would have been there if it had been on the knees.
Whenever we found that wall of marble, I was in the hole, and I would take a birdseed bag and lay it in there, and then I would scrape all those marbles out on the bag and get a hold of it and pitch it out to him, and he was stretched out with his bad heel, and he was picking off those good marbles and from the pellet and so on. And he had an easy job.
Miss Doug, a lot of sights in Michigan here, and some of them really times after I've been in holes 12 foot deep, 20 foot deep, that if there was one place anywhere that I could build marbles, it would have been that. I couldn't build a home for anything.
And the other party was Bill McCaleb, and he's in Illinois right now. And he came back here during that time and lived here for 2.5 years. So the three of us like to see much to see.
What years do you think your collection dates?
Well, Franklin was on one side, and then later moved to the Quonset hut on the other side. So Champion were made there, and I don't know if they were made at the alley site or not.
No, this is just stored in the alley. The old site alley was right in the center between the two. And then before that, before 30, the Ohio was all different types of black doctors. I can't believe it was such as then. And now the business, the industry that we lost during that period of time, and it's even worse now, we lost another glass industry. But there was buildings in that little hollow that was 5 stories high. And quite a deal for a tender.
So were these marbles all for play?
I wouldn't have to say they were all for play, because marbles over the years have been used for different odd purposes, like rolling caskets, or the agitator in a can of paint, or...
It used to be the reflectors in the silent stage, the red silent stage, the thing at night. There's endless uses for the marbles. But
there's like razor sharpeners. I've got a pair over there that's like two marbles, and you hold your razor or your whatever between those two marbles. Face the sharp, I don't know about that.
There's an old
and jewelry up there, sculpture, made necklaces, bracelets, and
you put the knife up, there's an old military setting kit. I've one of the kits, so there's all kinds of uses for them. But the biggest use for what we collect, most collectors collect today, is glass. They call it industrial use marbles, and most of them are solid color or single color, transparent, blue or green, and not real pretty, and they're picky thing to make for industrial uses is size. So, and they still make a lot of those today. That's what's still in the state of St. James, and the biggest business for Gray Davis is still in operation today is industrial marbles.
They've had special runs. 65 up while you were 2008 to 2012. I was invested in very few, maybe 3 or 4. But he was invested in a lot of them. Learned a lot, and things that they, like Dave McCullough, was the general manager at Champion, and then went to Jabo, and they were still learning things about making marbles. And, almost 100 years after they started making machine made marbles.
And most of the machines today are still machines that used in the 40s. Technology has never caught up with it.
That's a new machine that they've been making and trying to get right for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And they still haven't gotten it right. So the rollers aren't. The rollers aren't too long or something. So, all the machines are old machines.
So, was West Virginia a hub for marbles?
The reason most machine-made marbles ended up in West Virginia, and a lot of people call it the marble capital, but it's machine-made, is because the biggest reason, and that comes from after Agate started it, they were the first, is because the natural gas was cheap and abundant. When they were in Akron, they ran out of gas. That's the one reason they left Akron, because they ran out of gas up there. So they came to Richmond because of gas, and the second reason was the silica sand was available and cheap. And the third biggest reason was pretty much every little town or large town, either way, in West Virginia had experienced glass workers.
We were sort of migrated here from other countries, Belgium and I don't know, Czechoslovakia and
Germany and France, and just a lot of glass.
And what does the railroad system help too?
Railroad and the river. And most of the factories, you think a lot of most of them run by a river. They use water for cooling, but the big key is railroad. Almost everyone has a railroad siding or track inside of where the factory was. We were talking early 30s. There wasn't a lot of structure or whatever like there is nowadays. Everything went to rail. And a lot of these marbles went to Europe and all around the world. Most of the Redinger marbles went to the West Coast.
Can you tell me what the marble collecting world is like?
You mean the people?
Yeah.
One big family.
How many people are part of
part of it.
I didn't have any idea of numbers of people. And it's grown, it has every year since I've been into it. There's more interest in it, more people coming in every year. It's hard to keep up with new people. A lot of people have got this feeling that, these collectors are all older, and once they're gone, it's goodbye, and it's not. But that's not what I see. I'm on several chat boards on the internet, and popular on Facebook now, and it's just getting more and more. How many of you do, I don't know. We tend shows. Most of the shows will have 50 to 100 people shows, and we go to 10 to 12 shows a year, and a lot of these shows, that's the only time we see each other. So it's like a family reunion, and you don't do anything in the mobile world, but your name's a secret. The news travels fast, and it goes from one end of the United States, one coast to the other. So it's a pretty tight-knit group.
And are most people in this area?
No. It's scattered everywhere. Yeah, and this same state you mentioned, they've got close friends in Texas, and they're on the West Coast, and
fourth
state, so it's widespread. Midwest is heavy with it. Anaheim, and West Virginia, Pennsylvania is really heavy with it. Northern states are. It's all over.
But the funny thing for me is we would like to find more markets, auctions, flea markets. We can't find marbles within a 100-mile radius. Bigger than that, probably.
If we do, the newer ones, are really fine.
I don't mean that you have now stay bays, but when you're looking for vintage marbles, you don't want stay bays, and you don't want to pay a vintage marble price for a jar of stay bays, even though they're really good.
You expect to find stay bays here before they were made. But
a friend of ours, and it's one of those friends that she's on the chat board, we see her at a marble show. She goes every weekend. She and her husband, they live in Maryland, and they went to West Virginia for an auction not too long ago. We think they got in the Eastern Panhandle, and which it might have been that far for them. But every weekend, they hit auctions, and she gets the best marbles she ever saw. And here, in the last
one. The other collectors assume that since we're in the center of it, that, yeah, we've got access to all these marbles, but the problem is, all those marbles are tipped away from here.
But you're talking about this being the hub of marble companies that have existed and machine made in the United States. There was Sculpture in Ottawa, Illinois, which that's where we were last weekend. ALOX in St. Louis, Missouri. Christensen, which is in Cambridge, Ohio. And if you, I don't even guess you have to include Acro because you said they didn't make machine made.
Kokomo.
So, in Kokomo, made a few. So that's four. In West Virginia, we have Ravensbrook. We have Vico in Parkersburg, Acro in Clarksburg, Master Glass and Master Marble outside of Clarksburg. In Ritchie County, there was Kiro, Keaton, Davis, Jackson, I think five more.
Allen, Bogard.
City as Marble King is still in Cajun City. All those in West Virginia. So, yeah, I think you can say, probably safely say, that I've always just picked out a number of 85% of all machine made marbles ever made are made in West Virginia through the vintage years.
And some of them are short lived companies. There were several of them that was a year or less, or a little over a year, some of them 2 years. But what I call, I guess, the big four companies, some of the long lived companies, which Pelcare was a long company. Pelcare, Acro, Vitro, and Marble King, I kind of call the big four companies. It's all survived the longest and produced the most marble. But they were all West Virginia other than Pelcare, which was a big company.
Mm-hmm.
And they're popular with collectors. Long history.
When we go to, the show we were just at in Ottawa, Illinois, almost all the people from that area, they are solely
little conversation with a guy the last time we were out there, and I said, you know, that's all, that's really all that they see. And I said, here, we have these 14 plants, or how many, but we've got, so you've got different emphasis, or you can go in different directions. And he said, well, you didn't look at it that way.
Well, different areas collect different marbles. You go to the Northeast, that's where a lot of the marble collecting started. Before the teenage were even native, and it was Joe Jamie Handmaid's in 1950 and 1900. And the Northeast, the handmaids were more popular. And they collect handmaids, and people in the Midwest collect peltiers, and this and that. They all tell you that the swirls are almost impossible to learn, but since we live right in this area here, that's where we have an advantage over that. They, mm-hmm. they have problems separating them, but like you said, they collect peltiers in that area. They learn peltiers, and for a second, they learn acromobles, which is the oldest machine made, and that's all they have to say. Here, if you go learn these, right off the bat, you've got 15 to start with.
Yeah. And they blend, like, we got the best there is at the rest of the squirrels. We use the best there is. But we can get them down to two companies of them. As long as I'm just definite, this is absolutely an alley, or this is absolutely a Ravenswood. But then a lot of marbles, they have similar traits. So you can get it down to it's either an alley or a Ravenswood, or it's either a champion or an alley. You know,
there's a reason for that. They were using similar glass, and some of the employees had worked in one company and wrote. And, for example, Ravenswood, the first person to make a marble, Ravenswood glass, when it started, was Lawrence Allen. So, the Ravenswood continued to look like Allen because he's the one that taught him how, and they continue to use his recipe. So, some of the Ravenswood, some of the alleys, no one can separate.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are totally unique from one or the other.
Well, Ravenswood, peltier and acro is different, or it's called. It has lots of names, marbles. Ravenswood, I can only think of four.
Ravenswood, the company's got one name going.
Paul Bowman. I forgot about Paul Bowman. But there are three ravens, a red raven, Ashanti, a red raven, a blue raven, and a green raven.
That's what the name.
That's the name. And the one that's called the Ravenswood Christmas tree. And then there's one that's got white back glass, and that's why I will always refer to it. Oh, it's that marble, it's that Ravenswood marble that's made out of white back glass. And the Paul Bunyans, that's about it for Ravenswood.
And it's the same back glass. When the teenage marbles got started, the marbles were made from all raw ingredients. And sand, and all feldspar, and all different ingredients. Well, as time progressed and more companies came on board, and once you got into the 40s, competition got harder, so they had to cut costs. So by the early 40s and World War II, all the companies had to switch to what we call solid, which is scrap glass.
Yeah.
And they were using scrap glass, remelted in the main furnace, and then added whatever colors and input, so that the older marbles, acros, and citrus and agate, and some of the Ravens woods and sea agates now. The white is more snow white and much brighter because it was from raw material.
Yeah.
And of course, those marbles, the older, the brighter, they don't bleed as much. They command a lot more money by collectors.
What Tom's Cold Cream does provided a lot of base glass for white.
Really good. They used everything red. It was a hard one to get. They used hard tail lights. The trouble with scrap glass is it has a different, what we call, coefficient rate. It's an expansion and contraction rate, and you can't mix coefficients. You just cannot put anything in there.
It has to be within a...
If you run a coefficient of 95, you can probably use glass with coefficient of 90 to 100, but if you get farther away from that, all the marbles are fractured. So it looks like behind a furnace or tank, when it's making marble, it looks like they're selling this, glass you got. But no, it's certain glass. It's not all mixable.
A lot of the glass that, like at Gabo, that they use came from Fenton. And I don't know how many other places use Fenton glass.
Fenton is a big supplier. Fenton has been in business 100 years, and they're a big supplier. victory light, what we call stripes, is colors, victory light. You put some colors in, try to add it, and it'll disappear. It'll go to the center, it'll burn up. But victory light is one company guys that always shows up in the marble. And it had to be in the 30s and 40s because every company must have been used it.
So, what is it that compels you so much about marbles? I mean, I'm sure it's changed as you've gotten older.
I don't know. When you dream about them, when you're passionate about them, you just, it's just, and like, and we've made, I've made good friends. But like, friends that we may not see too often, but they're good friends. They make me happy. Just looking at them, but I get frustrated. He gets really frustrated when he said, haven't I told you before what this is?
I've been in a lot of hobbies and it's not been in this, like marbles, and I've stayed with marbles longer and more than anything because the learning end of it never ends. I'll never learn it all in my lifetime, but there's experts in this now. I've found very few what I call experts in marbles. It just never ends. It's every day. It's easy learning every day, and you can't, marbles are the hardest piece of glassware there is to learn. And it takes a lot of effort, but that and the people, and it's one hobby I find that if you put the time and effort into it, it will pay for itself. It will pay for itself. And it just never ends. And the biggest plus, like she says, is the people into it. You just make friends. People that send marbles, if you start marbles, if you stay with it for years, you're probably going to be with it for the next 25 years. Most people that way. And once you meet someone, your friends, you know, pretty much your life. And the same, that's what they were made for. Everybody always told me it's marbles, they were made for one reason, just for the smiling faces.
That's true, to bring people in a circle together.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Do you feel a connection to place? Is that part of it? Because they were made here?
For me, it is.
For me, that's huge. I was lucky enough, I wish I got started 10 years earlier, but I got started enough, well enough that I got to know a lot of the company's owners, a lot of the owners' families, I got to know several employees, and unfortunately, 95 to 98% of all passed away now. And they were amazed that anybody had that much interest in what they'd done and their marbles. And machine-made marbles, like a young hobby yet, it hasn't been around that long. And information has really come out the last 10 years. Of course, I was a little bit helping out. But all those owners, workers, almost everyone of them are amazed when I go to talk to them and interview about what they're doing. And they just ask me one thing, did I pass it on?
I'm glad that he's gotten the history. I just love messing with the marbles and the people with them.
So, what are some of your favorites?
My favorite marbles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been asked that, and I see people ask that all the time, so this and that. And some people, that's just an impossible question to answer. And I've been asked this many times, and I can't come up with one.
Yeah.
But there's too many, too much variety.
They're marbles that you're always looking for, like the carnival. We're always looking for that carnival.
I guess my favorite ones are the ones that get special memories. You know, certain people, some place I dug them, or somebody gave me, or something owner gave me. It's not marbles. I just go buy or collect or something. It's the meaning behind a certain marble. It's not a particular color or something or anything else. It's just the meaning behind that marble.
Anyway, I've had a blast.
Other than marbles, you have some, like, paraphernalia that's related. Some of the games and stuff. Can you tell me a little bit about the other things in your collection that aren't marbles but are related to marbles?
Well, games is one thing, and most of them, I think there's games that have come up even now are probably marbles, but I'm not interested in those. I'm more after the vintage ones. But
thing is figurines. One of my favorites. Well, over there, those are some of my favorites that are in that brochure. But I recently got one off of eBay of a frog shooting marble. And that's one of my favorite figurines. I have that several.
Right.
Yeah, that's the lamp and the reflector sitting there with the shooter and the boy shooting marbles. And then this stamp art lamp, my sister and my niece and I were over in Virginia at an antique store. And I was getting tired, and I'd sit down and rest, and I thought, well, before we leave, I better make one more lamp. And I saw that lamp. And I turned the shade around, and there was a watermelon. Marble King watermelon. At that time, about $500.
And that's a big goal for most collectors.
And that's what I mean. Hannah, my niece, was at the table. She likes marble too. Is this what I think it is? I think it is. So I got the lamp for, I don't know, $27 or something like that.
They can't pay the lawyer.
And take the watermelon leaf with, I don't know what I use, paint thinner or acetone or something. But anyway, that's how I got my first watermelon.
In the years after it pays off.
And the lamp up there, the one he was telling me about, that I was using for a light up over the table saw, I got it at an auction, and I think I paid, I don't remember exactly, probably 30, maybe 30-some dollars for it at auction. And I knew where it came from. I knew that it, you know, was done by Fenton, and not Fenton, but this way. But I didn't really realize what kind of value was on it. After that, I brought it in and bought a new shade for it.
It's only about 12 million. So.
Wow. Did you play marbles as a kid?
Yes, I did. Lost a lot of my brother's marbles. And, in fact, some of them made it from Greenbrier County for a year, and I have looked and looked and looked and looked for them. So I don't know whether my mother gave them away or what, but some of these models made it in the news, but I can't find them now.
What about you?
I play models and play models and just like me, once I got the model character, my mother kept looking for them, but she couldn't find them, so I don't know where my children, my kids got into them, like they disappeared, but I have one marble that I remember far back as I can remember, way before I started school, I don't know, 3 years old, 3 years old, whatever. It was a sulfide didn't sleep that, and it was my grandmother's, and it was on her desk, and I used to get it down and play with it, and she told me not to drop it, not to buy me any stuff, and I played with it until I was 12, 14 years old. I ended up with that marble, yeah.
Wow. How did you two meet?
I don't really know. We went to school together. But haven't met for
since school.
Yeah. Probably he went to Ravenswood and I went to Ripley to the high school because they get away with our school as a
commandant.
So then I got into marbles and they started a marble club.
I've been in marbles about 6 months a year, and I'm into the Ravenswood factory. I started out like a lot of people in, but the handmade. It was made in Germany and this and that. And I got interested in the looking machine made, and of course the first thing came to mind was Ravenswood, and I found out there was all these other factories, and I thought, well, since I went to school and lived there, and members in the factory run, maybe I'll start with it. So I was asking everyone to come contact with, everybody likes to find marbles, or to find some Ravenswood marbles to look at and learn them or information about them. And I kept getting one name, and that's where I went. Over Wood County, Rich County, Jackson County, got the same name, Noel Morgan.
And I really don't know that much about Ravenswood marbles, but that was my first company to come to that book. That's what I, that. And of course, everybody starts really with Acro marbles because of the corkscrew. And everybody can identify.
sort of like a barber shop. So it spreads around from pole to pole. It's around the marble. So it's easy for people, new beginners, to identify a quick. But anyway, so then the club's been in existence
15 years.
Yes,
Virginia and Marble Texas Club. There's a lot of people want to start one, and I finally got convinced, and two others kind of pushed me and my wife into it, and so it's been going for 15 years now. We hold somewhere around 10 monthly meetings a year, and then we do a newsletter 6 to 8 times a year, called Newsletter, which is really good, everybody looks at it, and we've got members probably in all the states, almost all across the United States and Canada now. We try to do something between part of our charter or original goal was to do something every year with kids and get them involved in marbles and do something with what we're doing today, the history of marbles, get the word out and make sense. So it's been 15 years we've been at it.
What's our time doing? Would you mind taking out maybe the case that you just bought recently and kind of talking through some of the marbles, what they are, and
Well, these are going to be named by collectors. A lot of companies, Victor, I think we've got 64 named Victor's and Big Joe Emerson some companies. But Mr. Alley, Lawrence Alley had his hands in the biggest majority of all the Western companies. He was, a lot of companies kept secrets like that, but he was the one helping out, helping get machines, he designed, build a lot of machines. He didn't think he was anything special. He didn't ever put his name on a package of his marbles at any time. He didn't have pictures taken himself much. Of course, he didn't name any of his marbles. So all his name marbles are from collectors that have given names in the last, pretty much the last 5 to 7 years the most. And Allie's is really popular now. Top is probably most popular, actually still popular. Kitchen Nugget and Allie's right there in the top four now. And 10 years ago, I don't know, it's hard to get 10 cents for now. And there's Allie's now that are easily $500 each in that short period. So and it's due to more information coming out, more collectors coming in the hobby, lots of information.
And Digging also pointed out that some of these alley marbles were thought to be fishing marbles until we found them 2 and 3 feet under.
Yeah.
But of what's here, these are the chalkies, which have what appears to be like a chalky-like dormus in the swirl, and they're a mistake. So the only way they, as far as I know, the only way they were made it to the surface is through people digging. So that's where the chalkies came from. And of course, this is a relatively rare marble. Very few names. And Gilma Caleb made me do it. I tried to name it Earth, Wind, and Fire. He told me it was too many words. You got the green, you got the fire. And then there's a, but I always come back at him with, there's a Victor marble called Biscuits and Red Eye Gravy. So these with all the little jiggles on them are calligraphies. This is some more exotic than this, but this is with quills.
Some of it's copper, some of it's aluminum, and there's a wide range of reasons that get them there.
And some companies, because everybody likes the name, there's more than one company that shares a name. So here's an alley pistachio, and there's a Ravenswood pistachio, and maybe there's a cookie. Is there a cookie pistachio? Yeah, Ravenswood now.
In the alley pistachio, one requirement of traits is that it grows under bauxite. Certain marbles grow under bauxite. When I got started, the old myth was that this marble grows under bauxite. That's one way to tell it was dank and probably accurate. And that was a huge mistake because we made marbles in the last 2 or 3 or 4 years that grow. The growing comes from uranium, but it is in the glass and within the color that you use to make the marbles. So it pops up in all different makers' marbles. With certain marbles, there's a lot of black and green marbles and similar designs out there. The requirement for an alley to be a three-eye statue does need to grow under black light. There's certain marbles that need to grow to be such a marble. But as far as age or something with something, no, it doesn't tell you anything.
And this one is called a table bud. And there are, what, four different variations. And I can't remember what they're green.
They're all the same base. There's brown, purple, green.
Yeah. And then this one, this has the table brown, but it has the lavender, so they call it a lady table.
And that's it, because one of the first marbles I named for alleys is I named it Blue Lady. And it's the same lavender with a blue base, where it has the yellow table base and lavender. So it fits both marbles. This is a combination. If you're looking for a Blue Lady, she's got one box up in front of
you. Put
down the corner is a box of Blue Ladies.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a combination, half one, half the other.
Those are beautiful.
These are
the first three models I made.
So that's, and then there's, they sort of moved from that. This is a stormy sky, I believe. But if it didn't have this dark on it, it was just the blue and white, it would be a blue sky. And then with the dark, it becomes a stormy sky. And then there's some with the blue, here goes the blue.
That was the Blue Lady, the first one I remember. This is the second one. And when it's up dark around it, then it's called Stormy Sky.
And there's a blood sky, right?
Right, and
there's
red.
And there's red on it. And then
oh, isn't that funny? Yes, I'm sure.
Has anyone ever done, like, a stormy scene?
Not really, but it could be done, especially with healthcare and water companies. You could make a chart with a different one, but I don't know anyone that has done it yet. And that one reason is we're still naming marbles and we're still learning about marbles. And the tree is still growing.
So Peltier, that was probably a Belgian or a French.
Peltier, the family was Peltier.
And when I first started and was reading in the book about Peltier, that's the way I hadn't heard it.
Yeah.
And knowing that the IER, that's where I pronounced it was Peltier.
Yeah.
So I didn't know better.
Superman, the popular name, if you can find an Afro Superman, a Peltier Superman, an Alley Superman. So Superman is blue, red, and yellow. We're trying to get most of the names to fit the marbles, and I think the older companies did that when they were naming marbles. Superman.
These are Christmas trees, with red and green on white.
There's a sticker bit. Right
now.
And then there's some that I
Cub Scout. Green and yellow Girl Scout.
Yep.
So
then there's Rebels and Liberties and
red and yellow. Ketchup Mustard. We have a Rally.
This is backwards, but we think it's backwards. John Deere.
Yep.
And now this one is I get Superboys and Spider-Man mixed up.
Superboy has the
And these are dragons, and if it's got the yellow in with it, it becomes a flaming dragon. And I think this is, isn't this a clown?
And you have bees, bumblebees, and you have the wasp. Says, once you, the name Kelp.
Yeah.
This is king of the trade. Everyone has to have a mother like. So, these are tracers. They have to have this little bit of white on them. They're the yellow tracer, blue tracer, green tracer, red tracer. It's a wolverine.
Oh, yeah, go blue.
I call these pinkies because they have a slight pink cast to them, but I don't know what, what the real name is. This could have a name too, but I don't know what it is. Oh, and these are
pearlized
cactus. See how
it
looks like the green cactus has sort of got a glisten to it. So now these are the Celtiers.
Okay. And another way. Colors are the key, and some marbles have what we call cut lines.
And Peltiers really do have a cut line.
And the cut line is where the marble, the blob was sheared off before it got rounded. And every marble has to be cut twice, top and bottom, off the stream, off the blob. Some companies show the cut line, some do not. And that helps you identify certain companies. Some companies only have one cut line. Some companies are curved, some of them are straight. West Virginia Pork Companies really don't show any. They didn't like to see that cut line.
What's that one called?
Dozen Rebel. You picked that one on the top line.
This
500.
This is my goal for a long time. I need a Dozen Rebel. And it's in the center, but lots of times I'm thinking, I don't even know what that Dozen Rebel is. I just had to have it until I got
it. Looks like the Germans. I was going to say only the Germans.
These are normal rebels. This is a golden rebel.
Got it.
And then it's up here because it's got a lot of AV on it. See the glisten?
That's
adventuring.
So that's a really plus.
Okay.
With a marble, if it has AV.
So there could be, like, the golden rebel, and then are some worth more than others because of how they look?
Yes.
Yes.
Then how much adventuring is in it?
Got it.
The older marbles, as you can see on this one, what we call blued. This one has a lot of blue. See how the orange spreads out? I'm saying the older marbles make the back grass blast, you know. You see the orange edges on these are more even.
Yeah.
That's a sign of the vintage older quality marbles.
There's an angel. They're hard to find.
There's a
green angel.
Green angel, red angel, and blue angel. Blue angel. Green angel can be $700, is it?
And this is a green fields, I think.
No, it's far in the tree. It has to blow under the back
out. That's it. We should probably wrap up, but is there anything you guys want to add?
Like I was told the very first 2 weeks, be careful. The marble bugs will bite hard if you stay with you a long time.
Uh-oh.
Like I said, if you stay with it even for a year, if you're with it for a year and go to a few shows and do a little bit of study, you're